This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, welcome in. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. Welcome back. Good to have you. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo with you. This lovely upstate Friday AM. Got a lot we're going to get to, a lot we're going to talk about on the radio program today. And we want you to be a part of that. And there are multiple ways for you to do just that. You can jump at us on the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. At 844-FANFONE, that's 844-326-3663, 844-326-3663. You can check in on the text line at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show because I am a creative branding genius. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. You can get everybody up in the hizzle at The Fan Upstate, at The Fan Upstate. And you can get at us on the Ray Memorial Hotline. That one's simple. You go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You download it on all of your digital devices. And once you do, you can send us a message on the Ray Memorial Hotline that we will play on the air. It is a wonderful little tool that is at your disposal 24/7, 365 days per year, day or night, rain or shine. It doesn't matter. Send us what you got, like Dan Dan did.
Out in the mid-Texas town of Austin, I fell in love with a burnt orange steer. Hooking and stomping a striped orange tiger, they put a final into its year. After that match, I don't care what happens, as long as justice is served. I can go on and think about next year, knowing that weenies get what they deserved.
Yeah, Lonzo, I do country, real country. Dan Dan out.
I thought that was Marty Robbins for a second.
I'm curious. I've been thinking about this since yesterday. By the way, excellent job, Dan.
Mm-hmm,
especially, I mean, you know, I'm going to enjoy that. But where is he recording that at? Is that like the restroom at Bucky's?
Great question.
I mean, the acoustics in there are a certain way that makes you think that maybe he might be in a restroom.
I'm going to go with a voice like that, vocal range like that. I'm going to bet you a dollar to a donut says Dan Dan's got some sort of studio set up at the crib.
Ah.
I'd be willing to bet you. I got a studio set up at the crib because I do this from that place all the time. And so when I jump on, you know, like if I'm going on an interview from the house, you know, when I do the BetMGM Tonight interviews or when folks in other markets asked to have me on when South Carolina was making a run at the playoffs, I did like probably six or seven different interviews on different local stations around the country talking about the Gamecocks. I will use like a Google Voice, and I'll use my computer for the phone call so that, you know, I provide them better audio than just, you know, sitting on my cell phone. I bet you Dan Dan's got the hookup. The point here is the Ray Memorial Hotline. You do whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. You want to say some potty mouth words, as I've heard it's called? Go on, I got a beep button, I'll use it. All right? Have some fun on the Ray Memorial Hotline. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. This thing got set up. I was super pumped. I'm like, yo, this is going to, without a doubt, turn the Armada into even bigger characters on the show than they already are. And we're getting a couple. I know it takes some time to build up some momentum. I know most of you have real life going on. 30 to 60 seconds. And you might become a radio legend like Dan Dan, the Superfan Man, who has become, as of right now, without a doubt, hanging on to the Ray Memorial Hotline championship title belt as it stands until someone steps up and sends me a message on the Ray Memorial Hotline to dethrone Dan Dan, the Superfan Man, and take the belt from him.
You know what I'm disappointed about? I mean, because I get that some people are a little... worried about coming on the air, especially dealing with Rob, who can be abrasive.
Standoffish at the least.
Very, very much so. But I think you should get on this thing and tell us why you don't pronounce the T in Clinton. Because, I mean, listen, there's some people out there. By the way, congratulations to Clinton.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Congratulations to Clinton for winning the state championship. Clinton did that. But why not get on there and explain to us, you know what, have your teachers, because as we're told, the teachers, have them come on and explain how they teach the kids to not say T's, because there's a clarification that they do teach them to not say the T's. So maybe come on that and tell us.
You know? Ray Memorial Hotline, here's how it works. You go to the Audacy app, AUDACY, download it on all of your digital devices. Go to the Fan Upstate page, Click on the heart button so it's right there every time that you open the app. And when you go to the Fan Upstate page, there's a little rectangular button with round edges on the side. It says, leave a voice message. You do that, you got 30 to 60 seconds. Actually, you really got 1 to 60 seconds. We want it to be 30, so it's, you know, good. You got 1 to 60 seconds. You can just jump on there and leave a message that says, Rob Brown, and I'll probably play it.
That'll take you about a second.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. You can just leave a message that says, Rob Brown, the Rob Brown Show, whatever you want. Doesn't matter. Or you can be like Rob Brown.
Let me tell you, you don't know ball.
Have at it. All right. Have some fun. That's why it's there. The Ray Memorial Hotline, available only on the Odyssey app. All right. It is 7:07 in the AM portion of the day, meaning you're getting up and at 'em. Maybe you're having that first glass of coffee, sitting out on the back porch, reading the newspaper, listening to the Rob Brown Show while you get yourself mentally prepared for the strenuous Friday. Friday, got to get down on Friday ahead of you.
It's cold outside.
I got a little space heater for the back porch.
That's why I said I hope it's a heated porch.
Yeah, a little space heater.
Because I don't.
Got the fire pit a little early in the AM for a bonfire, but like.
Unless you're out there
from last night, yeah. You're still sitting by the bonfire.
Could be.
In which case, you're living the high life, my friend.
Good morning.
Either way, you got to know what the hell's going on in the world of sports, and that's what we're here for. That's why we do this.
Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl.
What a slapper of a song. There's no more storytelling songs anymore. Like, that genre of storytelling songs is just gone.
That ho song that you've been singing a bunch. That's telling a story. That ho song.
That ho song?
The ho song, yeah.
The ho song.
I think it was some country artist.
You mean Hot to Go?
Yeah, that's a ho song.
H-O-T-T-O-G. It's not a ho song, first off.
Yeah, it is. You acknowledged that later on when you started talking about the lyrics. That's telling a story. That's telling a story of promiscuity and looseness, right? It's a story. It's still a story, dude.
First off, ladies as pimps too, go on, brush your shoulders off. All right? Let my girl Chapel Roan live. Let her live.
Wait, so she's a pimp
if
also?
If she's H-O-T-T-O-G-O.
So not only...
Who are you to judge?
Not only is she a hoe, but she pimps out other hoes.
Judge not lest ye be judged.
You said that there are no stories being told in songs, and that sounds like a story.
You know
to
what
me.
I mean by a story,
right?
I'm talking about a guy rolling into a cantina somewhere in a Mexican border town, falling in love with a raven-eyed beauty, and then being hunted down by her outlaw better half, lesser half, whatever you want to call him, having to run for an entire posse with guns ablazing, only to feel that hot metal enter the side and have to say, "Felina, goodbye." That's a story, man. That's a saga. You're there. You can smell the gunpowder from the six shooters in the air. As this man feels his blood and his heart spill out at the same time.
You can't smell the hose in that song from
whoever you're
talking about. All right,
I'm done with you. 12-6 winner. Item number one. 12-6. I can't believe Lonzo has said hose on the radio like 9 times. 12-6 Rams over the 49ers last night. LA improves to 8-6 and are now a half game back. Oh, you're the worst. A half game back in the NFC West. A game in which there were 18 points and 0 of them came off of touchdowns. Still, I'm gonna argue until I am blue in the face. It's actually a good football game. No touchdown scored. Actually a good football game. Two coaching staffs that are excellent coaching staffs. Two teams that either are or have been and are recovering from being exceptionally banged up because, hey, it's the NFL. It is the definition of attrition. Is a good game. Doesn't look that way on the scoreboard. When you got one kicker going 4-for-4, Josh Carley, Gnarly Carley, going 4-for-4. And on the other side, Jake Moody going 2-for-2. And that's all the scoring. But it was a good game for what it was. Anyway, the Rams are the Rams good? Are the Rams good or not good?
They're good enough to win. Good enough to win the NFC West.
They are. I mean, they beat the Bills last week.
They did.
But then they turn around after putting up 44 on the Bills. They put up 12.
Hey, maybe the Bills aren't as good as you thought they were. Maybe.
Listen to the hopes and dreams over there of a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Maybe the Bills aren't good. The Bills are good.
What? The Bills have never beat Kansas City in the playoffs. Why is it hopes and dreams?
Because the law of averages says they got to get you at some point. Right? Just law of averages.
Do they?
No, probably not. We'll see. Item number two. This was an item yesterday because we thought it was going to happen. It's an item today because it did indeed happen yesterday. Bill Belichick officially introduced as the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heel football team. They had to go through the whole Board of Trustees meeting in order to get him signed and official, and they did just that, officially replacing the 73-year-old Mac Brown is the 72-year-old Bill Belichick, and now we know the compensation package for the 5-year deal that will run through December of 2029. It is worth $10 million per season, a $1 million base salary, and $9 million in supplemental income. The first 3 years of the deal are guaranteed. Hoodie could also receive up to $3.5 million per season in bonuses tied to regular season wins, ACC championship game appearances and victories, and postseason appearances. He gets another bonus for ranking in the final CFB poll. He gets another bonus for ranking as a coach of the year, and he gets another ranking for the team's academic standing within the conference. If Hoodie decides to leave the school early, he will owe $10 million worth of buyout back to UNC. That is if he departs before June 1 of next year. After that date, the buyout drops to just $1 million a year. And here's an answer directly to the question that was asked yesterday by the great one, Bubba Cunningham. Bubba! The AD of University of North Carolina.
Oh, Bubba.
Who did the most Bubba thing ever in introducing Hoodie yesterday and came out in a suit but with the sleeves ripped off the jacket. And for the record, I think that's great. I like a guy who buys in.
Come on, his name's
I think it's great.
His name's Bubba.
He just had to pull an old jacket out.
He did.
He wasn't like, hey, honey, can you cut the sleeves off? No. He's like, let me just get in the back of the closet, get my Bubba jacket out. Cunningham told the Raleigh News and Observer yesterday, Lonzo, that Hoodie has permission to continue to make his regular appearances on the Pat McAfee Show and the Manning Cast as a coach at UNC.
Of course he does. The exposure that he's going to get between those two shows for the school, hopefully good exposure. It's a good move.
As Ed McMahon once said, you are correct, sir. Of course it is. This hire is exclusively about brand and exposure for North Carolina. All right? Exclusively about brand and exposure from the University of North Carolina. So it is unsurprising in any way, shape, or form, am I ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, that North Carolina would, of course, allow him to continue doing what he's doing out there at Chapel Bill.
Could be a thing. If he is successful, then we're going to see a bunch more NFL coaches moving down to the college ranks.
For sure. This was a point we brought up yesterday with Rashad, I think. But I think it was Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast, who joins us every Thursday at 8:40 to talk Panther football. We kind of had the conversation that one of the consequences of the new world of college football, or as Lonzo's called it many times, NFL light, is that there comes a point. We've already got schools hiring general managers, right? Which is an NFL position. We've already got schools hiring general managers. How far away are we from a hell of a lot more NFL legendary coaches coming down to the college ranks? Because you kind of need that at this point, right? Like, you kind of need to have somebody who understands the landscape the way that the college football landscape is currently being run. A guy like Hoodie, there are advantages to that. There are advantages to knowing not just how to recruit, but how to recruit from the standpoint of somebody that could potentially have millions of dollars of NIL money on the line. I don't think Zoe's wrong. If the Hoodie comes down and this works, regardless of why it works, I think it works because I think Hoodie is going to assemble an all-star staff, and I think if he does anything else, it's ludicrous. I think Hoodie comes down. I think he assembles an all-star cast, and I think if and when he does that, if he succeeds, then all of a sudden, I think a lot of schools, more like North Carolina's, less like Ohio State's, more like Wake Forest this is, less like Georgia. But I think a lot of those mid-tier schools will start making that play. So we'll see how it plays out. All right, finally, item number three. Something that we're going to talk about later on in the show, the college football playoff awards were last night, and Colorado Buffalo two-way standout superstar Travis Hunter took home a lot of hardware. 26 of 43 votes went to him for the Associated Press College Football Player of the Year. Ordinarily an indicator of how the Heisman voting is going to go. So you can expect Travis Hunter's going to be taking home some heavy hardware from the New York Downtown Athletic Club coming up on Saturday night.
Miami Dolphins wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. have mutually agreed to part ways.
That's interesting. Unsurprising, but interesting. Kind of thought Odell was going to kind of be the emergency guy for Tua. Kind of be the, let's just every now and then run away with the old it. Odell's down there somewhere offense, but Odell is, as the kids say, a little long in the tooth.
Breaking news brought to you by
BetQL. Be a better, be smarter, beat the books with our friends at BetQL. And don't forget to listen to Bet for the Cycle every Saturday on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM and the BetQL Network, starring MLB legend Cody Decker, and also I'm there. Saturday, noon to 4 on the BetQL Network. All right, let's do this. When we come back, item number three, we'll carry it over. Your college football awards handed out last night. Let's talk a little bit about some of the fine football folk who took home awards last night. Anything we liked, didn't like? Is it a predictor, prognosticator of the Heisman Trophy celebration on Saturday night? Do we even care? And I got a bunch of texts, 71307. Start your text with FanFAM. We'll read them on the air. We'll do that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Some college football hardware handed out yesterday evening. Your Chuck Bednarik Award winner was Travis Hunter. Your Biletnikoff winner was Travis Hunter. And your AP Player of the Year award winner was Travis Hunter. Your Paul Hornung winner was Travis Hunter as well. My man was busy. He got his 10,000 steps in, going from seat to stage to stage to seat. This is also why, and I've said this a couple of times, this is all why he is going to win the Heisman Trophy. Because we have seen two-way players. We have seen two-way players throughout the history of college football. I don't know that we have seen a two-way player that will do, that we have seen or will see again, a two-way player that will do what Travis Hunter will do. And I have made the comparison before. The reason I believe that is Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson, of course, at Michigan, is the only defensive back from the University of Michigan to win the Heisman Trophy. He did it in 1997. He was primarily a defender, but also played on offense, defense, and special teams. And he was celebrated for that. Travis Hunter played on offense, defense, and special teams and excelled at all of them. At all of them. Now, I do think it is fair to point out that the Colorado Buffaloes did not exactly have a who's who of a schedule this year. One ranked team on that list in Kansas State. Now, they had some teams that were ranked, teams like Utah. They had some teams that were kind of interesting and teams like Nebraska early in the year. But it wasn't exactly a who's who schedule for Colorado this year. But when I go look at the numbers that Travis put up this year, 110 yards against Nebraska through the air, 100 yards through the air against Colorado State, 130 against Baylor, 153 against Cincinnati, 99 against Texas Tech, 125 against Kansas. The dude turned numbers as a wide receiver. He won the Biletnikoff Award for the best wide receiver in football. He also won the overall player of the year. He also won, I mean, damn near just about every award he was eligible for, to be honest with you. What this kid did as a two-way player this year was so good that he took what would have been, in my opinion, a guaranteed Heisman Trophy to Ashton Jeanty at Boise State University. He just took that from him. There is no chance on Saturday night that Ashton Jeanty's name is getting called. It's not happening. And it's because while Ashton Jeanty has done something we'll never see again, Travis Hunter did it in a way that we'll never see it again more. Like I don't know. My job is to go find ways to put this into words that make it pop more, and I don't think there's a way to do that. Somebody better at this job than I am, maybe later, will find a way to do that. I don't know of a way to explain to you what Travis Hunter did this year that can make more sense than just saying, literally just go watch any Colorado game. Any of the ones he was healthy in, go watch that game, because every game, he didn't make a play that was special. Every game he made multiple plays that were special. Now, there is one thing I am interested in, because this is a cliche that gets thrown around every single year. Did Travis Hunter have a Heisman moment? Did Travis Hunter have a moment this season that went, that's it? That's the exclamation point on the argument.
Yes.
Or were all of them that?
Yes. The season was his Heisman moment. I know that most people think it has to come down to that one moment that they have that big game and they're doing the pose at the end and everything, and that's the thing that puts them on the map. But his entire season has been a Heisman Trophy moment.
I don't have an issue with that. If he was just a wide receiver, If he was just a wide receiver, I think I could look and go, yeah, I don't really know if there was a Heisman moment that puts him past Ashton Janti. If he was just a defensive back, I don't know that there's a Heisman moment, like one individual big game, big spot, big time moment that you go, that's the moment that puts him past Ashton Janti. Because again, I think if there was no Travis Hunter this year, everything Lonzo just said about Travis Hunter, I would say is absolutely true about Ashton Janti. I would go, there may not have been that one moment. Maybe winning the Mountain West. I would say maybe the Mountain West championship game where he put up, what was it, 220 against UNLV. Granted, yeah, not a great team.
He just plays one position now.
And that's it.
You know.
That's it. Ashton Janti.
Boring.
I literally think with like three or four exceptions in my lifetime, maybe three or four exceptions, I think Ashton Janti wins the Heisman. I think like Tebow's Heisman year, like maybe Tebow outshines him. Janti last year, I think would, if he had this year last year, I think Ashton Janti probably beats Jaden Daniels for the Heisman Trophy last year. I think most years he probably wins the Heisman. And I can't even say Janti had a Heisman moment. I think putting up the double century mark in a game that not just got Boise State a trophy as Mountain West Conference champs, it didn't just send Boise State to the college football playoffs. It got Boise State a bye. It got Boise State a bye in the college football playoffs this year. Texas said, I think, or said, Rob, you're arguing about Travis Hunter didn't play a good schedule, can also be said for Janti as well. I don't disagree, Bo. And Bo sent that text. I appreciate it, Bo. Great to have you. I don't disagree with you at all. But again, look at the numbers, Ashton Janti. This is kind of the argument that I make. It's like a one-player argument that is similar to the argument we make about teams. Teams like Indiana. Indiana's the perfect example. Indiana played the most, arguably, weak schedule of any team to make the playoffs, with the exception of maybe Boise State, but Boise State played Oregon. Indiana didn't play Oregon. Indiana didn't play anybody but Ohio State, and they got blown out in that game. So why did Indiana go? Because it is not just about the strength of schedule that you play. To me, this again, all of the playoff rankings are subjective. It's not just about who you play. It's about the results against who you play. If you go play a bunch of nobodies and you win all those games against nobodies by 3 points, I'm not going to look at you the same way as if you go play a bunch of nobodies but you beat them all by 40, you know, like Indiana did. Indiana played one good team. They got blown out. To me, they manipulated their offense at the end of the game to make it look like they didn't get dominated quite as much as they did get dominated by Ohio State. But outside of that, with one or two exceptions, they beat everybody by 100 points. So, as far as I am concerned, Indiana played the weakest schedule in the playoffs, with the exception of maybe Boise, but they beat the hell out of everybody. That's why I'm fine with Indiana being in. That is my subjective measurement. Yes, Ashton Janti, like Travis Hunter, played a weak schedule against teams lined up against Boise State. But he dropped 200 yards on everybody. He dropped 200 yards on everybody, right? Like, he had one game where he only had like 140 yards, and people were like, uh-oh, is Ashton Janti cooked for the Heisman? He only put up 140 and two touchdowns today. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's not, yes, he ran against a lot of weak teams, but he put up 200 on them routinely. There have been, I think, one or two football players that have averaged more rushing yards per game than Ashton Janti. It's a stupid, ridiculous number. Like a stupid, ridiculous number. And I think there's something to be said for that. But what Travis Hunter did is even more impressive than that. Against the weak schedule, he didn't just dominate like Ashton Janti did. He was a dominant defensive back. He was a dominant wide receiver. He just won the award for being the best of both of those things. You know how impressive that is? If you didn't watch Travis Hunter play this year, forget how you feel about Deion. Forget how you feel about Shador and Shiloh. Forget how you feel about whether Colorado's hype is legitimate or manufactured. If you didn't watch Travis Hunter play this year, you cost yourself an opportunity at watching what I think is going to be a season that we are still going to be talking about 10, 12, 15 years from now. Colorado was a blown game against Kansas away from being in the playoffs with a bye. And if they got into the playoffs with a bye this year, there would have been talk about how Colorado is going to play spoiler for a lot of teams. All right, we'll come back here in just a minute. Got a few more things I want to knock out in this hour of the show. Lulu Kessin joins us at 8 o'clock on the dot to talk Gamecock football. Speaking of the Gamecocks, speaking of awards, Kyle Kinnard picked up one last night. We'll talk about that with Lulu Kessin at 8 o'clock, all coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great Milonzo, and you. Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone, 844-326-3663. Text line 71307. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo Onward. Tweet everybody at the station at the Fan Upstate. And, of course, the Ray Memorial Hotline is open and available for you. Got one just a few minutes ago from Kane in Greenville. We'll play that for you coming up here in just a few minutes. So stick around for that and get yours in because coming up at 8:20, we will listen to what you have to say on the Ray Memorial Hotline. So if you got a hot take and you want to give it to us, now's the time to do it on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go to the Fan Upstate page, click on the send a voice note button, and drop your 30 to 60 second voice note. And if it's a good one, you might hear it on the air coming up at 8:20 this a.m. All right, couple of texts that have come in so far. Texter says, can the Dallas Cowboys please draft Janty? I actually kind of dig that fit, to be honest with you. Again, the Cowboys were a team I took the under win total on. The Cowboys are underdogs to the Panthers on Sunday, a game we'll talk a little bit about later on in the show. They're dogs to the Cats, and part of the reason they are dogs to the Cats, I just realized I said dogs to the Cats.
Yeah, I'm sitting here just kind of...
That's my bad.
Kind of mulling it over.
Yeah.
Just trying to... Yeah.
That's my bad. Part of the reason they are dogs to the Cats is because the run game stinks. All right? Like, this was... I was cracking up coming into the season, with all due respect, Texter, to the people that were making the claim that Dallas was going to be a threat out of the NFC. Because I asked the question over and over. How'd they get better? They weren't one last year. And if they weren't one last year... How did they get better? Are you going to argue to me that bringing back a washed Ezekiel Elliott to replace Tony Pollard is going to make you better? It's obviously not. You need a running back. And, you know, the question mark is, will Ashton Janty translate to the NFL? I'll tell you this, though. I don't know. I'll damn sure roll the dice on a kid who's averaging a 179 a game at the college level. I don't care if he's doing it against lesser talent. If he can give me a 179 a game against lesser college talent, I'll roll the dice that he can get me 80 a game against NFL talent.
Well, I mean, I thought Dak was supposed to be really good. Why would they be considering going out and drafting another quarterback?
Let's be real honest here. I know that you consider wins and losses a quarterback stat. They're not. Dak Prescott's been regular season good the last couple. Last year, he was a like MVP candidate in the regular season. What is happening in Dallas right now, the fault of what's happening in Dallas rests on the shoulders of Jerry Jones and nobody else. Nobody else. So we'll see. Texter said, in all the Heismans given out, name someone similar to Travis Hunter. Is there one? Like, the only guy that I can even draw a comp to is Charles Woodson because he played on both sides of the ball. But what Charles Woodson did on offense was negligible compared to what Travis Hunter does. I don't think there is one. This is why I've said what Ashton Janty did is a Heisman Trophy season 90% of seasons. Like, there's a couple. I think Tebow's season, he probably still would have beat Ashton Janti for a Heisman. Like, there's a couple of seasons in my lifetime that I think the guy that won it still would have won it, even if Ashton Janti did what Ashton Janti did. And keep in mind, a lot of the hype does stem from the fact that Ashton Janti got the Boise State Broncos not just into the college football playoffs, but on a bye. If we were in the BCS era, or if we were in the four-team playoff era, Ashton Janti would still be talked about, but I don't know if the hype would be quite as high because Boise State wouldn't have been a playoff threat. If this was a four-team playoff, Boise State's not going. A lot of y'all would argue that they should. I would honestly argue with the loss they had in the regular season, I still would have taken them probably behind a two-loss SEC team. And you know how I feel about that. But the fact that he got him in and got him a bye, to me, is why a lot of the hype comes. Travis Hunter did not get his team in. His team did not get a playoff bid or bye like Boise State did. And yet he is still the runaway. That's how good this kid was. So Scotty from BMW, I can't give you a comp. I don't think there is one. Texter says, I think Hunter collected all of those awards as a consolation prize for Ashton winning the Heisman. If Ashton Janti wins the Heisman on Saturday night, there's going to be a lot of really mad bookmakers in Las Vegas on Saturday because they're going to be out some cash. They're going to be out some cash. Ashton Janti's not winning the Heisman Trophy, y'all. Now, if you want to make an argument, you can make the argument that Travis Hunter is going to win because the established, and you can say if you want, I actually don't agree, but the established media hype generated because of Deion, not because of the team. If this team was exactly the same team with the same results, but it was like just a boring standard football coach, would Travis Hunter have been hyped coming into the season the way he was? I don't know. What I do know is if Travis Hunter would have ended up at Florida State, where he was initially recruited and initially signed before he left when Florida State passed on hiring Deion Sanders, if Travis Hunter would have been a Florida State Seminole and put up the exact same numbers, I still think he would have won the Heisman. I still think he would have ended up getting that trophy on Saturday night. Let's see. Texter said, is this the Shohei versus Judge comparison for college football for Heisman? Yes and no. Yes and no. Here's the thing. This would have been an apt comparison if Shohei Ohtani did what he did this year as a DH and also won the Cy Young, right? Like, if Shohei Ohtani did everything he did as a DH this year and he won the Cy Young Award as one of the best pitchers in the National League, then I think it's a more apt comparison because I would look at that and I would say, This guy as a designated hitter is one of the best DHs we have ever seen in professional baseball. If this guy was just a DH, he'd win the MVP, and he did. If this guy won the Cy Young Award, he'd be one of the best pitchers we've ever seen in baseball, and he is. If he did both of them in the same year, we don't say anymore he's one of the best position players, DHs, or pitchers in baseball. You know what we say if a guy wins a DH title and a Cy Young and he wins the MVP? Do you know what we say? That's the best baseball player on planet Earth. I've already said that about Shohei Ohtani. I don't know if Shohei's ever going to be the same guy. All right? Any pitcher who gets Tommy John, any pitcher who does not pitch for a full year in recovery, any pitcher who goes through what Shohei Ohtani has gone through, no matter how superhuman they are, there is a chance that he loses a little bit of pop when he comes back. Shohei Ohtani may not be a Cy Young caliber candidate when he gets back from elbow surgery. But if he comes back at 95% of what he was before he left with the elbow injury, and he's a Cy Young candidate, and he's MVP caliber. One of the most awful takes I've made this year.
Let me tell you, you don't know ball.
Was I told people at the beginning of baseball season, as did Cody Decker, for the record, Cody Decker and I both made almost an entire hour out of do not bet Shohei Ohtani to win the MVP. Do not bet anyone to win the MVP as a designated hitter. No one's going to do that. And Shohei Ohtani did that because he was so good at it that you couldn't have that conversation. If Shohei Ohtani did what Shohei Ohtani did and also won a Cy Young, that's Travis Hunter. That's Travis Hunter. Not Shohei the DH, not Shohei the Cy Young candidate pitcher. Shohei who does both and is one of the best in the game at both. That's Travis Hunter. That's why that's there. Texter said, Rob, Dion has made Colorado one of the most hated teams, if not the most hated team, in all of college football. But I've got to give it to what Travis Hunter has done this year. Hate it for Janty because it really should be his. Yep. Same here. Same here. I don't know how, if there's a way that we can celebrate Ashton Janty in the year he had. Short, I mean, he won the Doak Walker Award for best running back in college football because, and I'm going to say this with some level of sophistication, duh, like totes obvi, bro. Of course he did. He was the best running back in college football. It was not even a competition this year. There were some guys out there. Came Scataboo at Arizona State. One of my favorites. Scataboo is a dude that I imagine a lot of you like because he's that old stool, like old school bruising running back. Yeah, shut up. Nobody said it. Nobody said what you think I said. I didn't say that. He's that old school bruiser of a running back. He's fun to watch play. And on top of that, he's kind of got that confidence, that swag about him. I enjoy, and Arizona State, like I said, I think Arizona State may very well be a bit of a dark horse threat because, unlike other teams, they're going to be able to lean on Scataboo a little bit. They're going to be able to say, hey, man, if it's tight, if it's a close game, if it's a tight game, just put it into the arms of Scataboo and let him Scatadoo it. The dude can go, right? What Ashton Janty did is unquestionably the best running back performance we have seen in a hot minute, in a hot minute. So I hope there's a way that we can celebrate what Ashton Janty did this year. I really do. I hope there's a way to celebrate it because it deserves to be celebrated. There was something special about it. But what Travis Hunter did this year is just absolutely unreal. Texter said, oh, how the Angels have wasted Mike Trout. Yeah, well, again, I agree with you. But also, while I respect Mike Trout's commitment and loyalty, I kind of got a victim blame a little bit here. My dude could have asked out at any point. Soon as the Angels let Shohei Ohtani go, Mike Trout should have followed him right out the door. Hey, Shohei, wherever you go, let me go too. Shohei, that's all I ask of you. Phantom of the Opera, Andrew Lloyd Webber. See, I'm not just working any given lyric into the show. I'm cultured too. Texas said, Rob, Hunter somehow not a Thorpe Award finalist. Yeah, that one was kind of interesting. I don't have an explanation or justification for it. I agree with you entirely. Texter said, Rob, who was Ray? Was he a P1 listener?
Maybe. I mean,
he absolutely was.
He commented enough to where you probably would have to say yes.
He absolutely was. For those of you who don't know who Ray was, for the namesake of the Ray Memorial Hotline, Ray was a, I'm going to say listener and feel comfortable doing so. Ray was a listener who for a long time, like years, would text the show and tell us stick to sports whenever Lonzo and I would go down the rabbit trail one direction or the next. Years. And then one day, Ray sent me an email. A long email. Like a couple of paragraphs. Where he got into great detail about why I suck at my job. Very long. I read it as a long dramatic performance on the air.
It was well done. It should have won awards.
I agree with you entirely. Long email about how much I suck at my job. And then, and he kept on texting for a little while after that. And then one day, Ray disappeared. Ray left us. Ray departed. And when we were kicking around theories one day about what may or may not have happened to Ray, we just went ahead and made the assumption that Ray died. Ray's obviously dead. That's the only reason that Ray just stopped telling me how much I suck at my job in my life every day was that Ray died.
As an amateur coroner on the program, I have declared Ray is dead.
Yeah, Ray's dead. So Ray died is the only, obviously it's the only possible reality is that Ray died. And so because we have the hotline, this voice message hotline that was set up for us, I have made it a deal. You guys can say whatever you want about whatever you want. It is yours to do with what you please. Obviously, we 0% expect people to stick to sports. Ergo, the Ray Memorial Hotline. It is a tribute to Ray. Texter said, "Long live Ray. Stick to sports, Liberob." I mean, maybe. We'll see. You know who is going to stick to sports, at least for the next 60 seconds? 52 of the next 60 seconds? The great one, Lonzo.
Yeah, the other 8 seconds I'm talking about you using the word ergo. The LA Rams took one step closer to claiming the NFC West with a 12-6 win over the 49ers last night. Kieran Williams, because if Kieran Williams ran, that probably would be a big deal. For a 108 of the Rams, 142 rushing yards, and Puka Nacua, I can say that word, but I can't say the other, recorded 97 through the air. The kickers were the only players who recorded points with no touchdowns scored. Rams kicker Josh Carty going 4-for-4 for the win. Bill Belichick was officially named the new head coach of the North Carolina football team last night. The winner of 302 regular season NFL games and 6 Super Bowls follows his father, who was an assistant coach at UNCA in the mid-50s. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 11:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the South Carolina State Bulldogs. It's Furman versus South Carolina State right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.